1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. Maybe you've heard of me. Well, would you like to meet me? Would you like to see me do many of my famous characters in person? Would you like to walk right up to the table and just stare at me? Stare at me as if I'm some kind of a monkey in a cage? Look at me even though I'm talking to you and just keep staring? Well, you can do that at Dave & Buster's on December the 11th in Arcadia, California. Now, where is Arcadia, California? Many have asked that. I'm not too sure, but I know that I grew up there. I could find my way there from the Los Angeles area. If you're coming from anywhere else, you're on your own. Rot's a ruck. Actually, we'll be at Dave & Buster's in the Santa Anita Mall in Arcadia on December the 11th. And the first 250 people in line, guess what? You're pretty special. You'll get a wristband and other stuff. You'll be able to get in before anybody else, and you'll get to see me do my act for 30 minutes on stage, talking like a jackass. And you'll be there, and no one else will. And they'll be saying, wait a minute, how'd you guys get in? Where'd you get those wristbands? You'll say, hey, schmuck, weren't you listening to Phil? He said the first 250 in line. Jesus. Wow, swish, 3 points for me. Score at halftime, me one, you nothing. So come on out to Dave & Buster's in Arcadia on December the 11th. And it all starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you're one of the first 250 people in line. We'll be signing copies of the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. And all the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Sunday, December the 11th, at Dave & Buster's in Arcadia. And you're listening to Jazz in Stereo. My name is Bob Geldado. Yeah. I'm going to be checking out some jazz this weekend at the Hot Potato. 2553 South Lancashire Boulevard in the beautiful city of North Hollywood. And for those of you who don't know, I am still taking heroin. I still take heroin. All right, now, let's see. Got some things to talk to you guys about this hour. We're going to be talking with Chris Norton. Mr. Norton has something called Project Mile High Club. We're also going to be discussing some other things. Last night I was not able to get to Justin McElroy and Lloyd Bonafide. These two gentlemen are involved in an ancestry project, and I want to talk to the two of them. They have been looking up their ancestors. They've been looking up the people that, you know, they were related to. And we'll give us some interesting stories about their ancestors, so we'll be discussing that with them. We do have a little bit of email to read to you guys this evening. And just kind of want to get out of the way a couple of things. First and foremost, speaking of ancestry, I've actually been looking into mine. Straight monkey. No, I got a membership in that Ancestry.com. What a ripoff. You know, look, if you want to bend me over, grab a big can of Crisco and slowly put on the rubber gloves. Just do it, man. Don't go out, get a webmaster, put up a website. I mean, what's that great line from Heartbreak Ridge? Well, you want to pop that puppy's can? So I go to this Ancestry.com, $149. I'm thinking, this is bitchin'. Well, yeah, it's bitchin' if your ancestors happen to be on the Mayflower or if they are in the farming records of Rhode Island from 1781. I mean, yeah, that's really great. In other words, I have a very dear friend of mine. I don't want to mention any names, but she's actually a fairly well-known radio personality, but I would never divulge her name because I don't want to embarrass her.
Turi Ryder.
And she was telling me. So I talked to her. I said, hey, Turi. What's your full name? All this stuff. So I go to Ancestry.com. She ain't even, as far as they're concerned, she doesn't exist. Now, I found myself because I was born in California between 1905 and 1995. So they've got all the birth records there. And then they have records there, like, for instance, they've got this. Well, were any of your ancestors in the Glasgow Directory for 1783? Huh? I'm telling you, I happen to know somebody that was born in the United States in this, well, in the last 100 years, and you cats ain't got a record of her. And you got my 149? No, 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 no. So if you want to pop that puppy's can, just do it, Jarhead. Don't put up a website, ask for $149, and go through this big, long rigmarole just to get me to believe that I'm actually doing some scholarship, when in point of fact, I'm just getting ready to drop soap in the shower. Like my dad, Herbert L. Hendry. Is there any record of him? Not a chance. Oh, yeah, that he died. My mom, no record of her at all. Absolutely no record. And then I find a record. I got a friend of mine down in Florida. I looked his name up. Man, they got his family going all the way back to Germany in the 18th century. All the way back to Germany. It's pretty funny, you know, if you got a friend that you knew was kind of a surf dude. You know, I grew up with this guy, went surfing, you know, partied. You know, the guy had, you know, we got into trouble. It was just, we were regular kids. It's weird to know that he has a great-great-grandfather was a cobbler in, like, Austria. You know? What would that guy say now? I mean, some dude named Wolfgang, you know, and the guy is cobbling together shoes and coffins. His family were like coffin makers. And now the guy is just, you know, wearing a backpack under a tree with a baseball cap turned around and just, you know, lighting up a fatty. And he had a cobbler for a great-great-grandfather? Something is definitely off. So if I were you, I would not just forget it. And then the other thing I want to mention, Madden 2006. Can I ask a question? And it's not a very difficult. How come you guys, I used to be able to kick the ball. Now I can't do it anymore. Why, all of a sudden you decided you're going to screw with me. Is that it? Now I've mastered kicking. Let's make it harder. And that whole quarterback option thing you guys have in that package, that quarterback vision, get out of here. Just let me throw the damn ball to the guy. I don't need to have 58 million different options. You know what I had to do is get a life and quit playing video games. But I simply wanted to mention that because I hate getting hosed, man. I don't like getting hosed this close to Christmas. I'm waiting for Santa Claus to give it to me. All right, let's take a look at a little bit of email here on the Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, we have our flashback by request coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, Phil, there's a Tight Life Imitates Phil event. And apparently the high school principal installed a camera in the boys' bathroom to catch vandals. Well, this reminds me of a bit you did in September where Bob Green installed cameras in the woman's bathroom to catch an employee who wrote, Bob Green has a pencil-sized you-know-what. Did Bob ever catch the vandal? Thanks for the laughs. Tell Bud I said clang. Steve Harris, Albany, New York. You know, I still to this day laugh about that Bob Green bit. The guy didn't dig people doing graffiti in the bathroom. So he'd go in and graffiti and then draw an arrow. You know, that's like just the talk about barroom gas station. The guy is going in there and writing stuff and then drawing an arrow to the thing he's responding to. Oh, my God. Hey, Phil, Comb Over Boy is now on at 10 p.m. on tape on an all-rock station. Your old Seattle affiliate, The Buzz, All Talk 100.7, is now all country music. They pushed all the old Buzz talent over to an all-rock station, 99.9 KSTW. They're all basically fired. It's just nobody told them yet. All of the talent are now just sharing a mic, all trying to over-talk each other during short breaks while playing 12 songs in a row. Thought you'd love to know it and laugh. Sean G, this 99.9 Rock had Howard on in the mornings. Wait, by the way, speaking of Comb Over Boy, I talked to a very famous lady today, a movie actress. I don't want to get into any mentioning any names, but she was in a movie once with... No, I'm just kidding. And she said this to me. Gorgeous woman, famous actress. She said, I believe Comb Over is a latent homosexual. She did. And then I feigned absolute amazement and shock, and I had to hang up on her. And then she called me back, and we both laughed and shook hands. It was a big misunderstanding. No, but she says she thinks that there's definitely some kind of a... Seriously, she thinks there's kind of almost a queen thing going on there. And if you think about it, that whole kind of... Isn't there like a queen in there screaming to get out? I swear to God, man, there's a guy... with butt implants in a Santa Claus costume just screaming to get out. Comb Over Afternoons. All right, we'll take a break and we'll be back with our, in another 15 minutes or so, we'll have our flashback. Don't forget, we have Justin McElroy and Lloyd Bonafide with their Ancestry Project coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And then later on, we'll be talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley about their new program, Toys for Our Tots, on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm very happy to be joined this evening by a young high school senior named Justin McElroy. Justin goes to Canyon High. He's also a student prefect on his student council. And Justin joins. How are you, Justin?
Yes, sir. I'm really good. And I want to thank you, Mr. Hendry, for letting me be on. You know, on the project and everything.
And Lloyd Bonafide joins us. Mr. Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing executive from Alhambra, California. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. And I don't know who's... Where are you, sir?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
I'm over at Perry Boys... I'm at the Perry Boys cafeteria right now in Pasadena.
And Justin, where are you?
Right now I'm at Block of Orange. I'm just over at the Block of Orange.
You, like, it sounds like you're an arcade?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. I don't need to...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what difference does it make?
Well, the gentleman's asking you a question.
All right, hold on. I gave both of you guys a project to look up an ancestor, because I told you about my you know, looking into my own ancestry. And I asked each of you gentlemen if you would go into your own family genealogy and find an interesting individual... that you would like to tell us a little bit about, and then we can sort of discuss it. And if you wouldn't mind, Justin, I'd like you to go first, okay?
Yes, sir. I looked up. I have my uncle Fred, who's my dad's brother, was at Pearl Harbor, and he was part of one of the tanking crews. His job was to, gas up or get fuel for the battleships, and he was on duty the morning that the Japanese bombed, and he helped save some of the crewmen of the Arizona, and he also was on firefighting duty in the harbor that day because there were oil fires.
And that is who?
That's my uncle. It's my uncle Fred. He's actually my dad's dad's brother.
So he's like a great uncle?
Yeah, I guess. But, so, that's the guy that I found out.
Okay, Lloyd?
Yes, sir, that's an interesting story, but when you said ancestry, I thought you meant, you know, go back in time a little bit. And I did a little bit of research as opposed to just listening to my father tell stories, you know.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, well, Justin, he's got a point, because you probably just talked to your dad.
Well, I didn't, you know, think it was going to be a big thing.
All right, well, go ahead, Lloyd.
Yes, sir. I actually went into a great deal of research, and it turns out that there is a member of my family. We had Scottish ancestry.
Okay.
And my great-great-great-great-grandfather lived in Edinburgh, Scotland, and was into the tanning business. He was in tanning. He had a tannery.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you mean he was tanning? What is that?
He was into tanning hides, is what I'm saying.
Well, you like spank people or something? Or?
No, sir, Mr. Hendry.
All right, hold on for a minute. Look.
Well, you guys are saying that I didn't do a very good job. This guy's talking about his uncle who's, you know, spank people.
Sir, he's not my uncle. He's my great-great-great-grandfather, and he didn't spank anyone. He had a tannery.
Yeah, like tanning someone's butt.
He didn't tan... Is the host there? Is the host there?
Yes, I'm right here. Look, Justin, tanning is a what they used to do with animal hides.
Well, what's wrong with my great-uncle fighting fires at Pearl Harbor?
There's nothing wrong with what your great-uncle did, but I don't think you did any research. I did...
Yeah, you looked into a relative of yours that spanked girl, you know, would spank people. Jesus.
He didn't spank people. See, what he's trying to do is make this sexual, and I will protest this at the very highest level of your corporation, sir. Thank you very much.
Now, please don't hang up.
No, I don't give a sweet.
Don't hang up.
Well, why shouldn't I?
Because he's afraid of the truth coming out that his uncle spank-banked it.
Spank-bank, huh? So in other words...
All right, wait a minute.
Look, okay, Mr. Henry, I've got... I did a great deal of research in the tan... When he tanned people... He didn't tan... See, he just said he tanned people.
He didn't tan people. He tanned hides.
Yeah. He paddled like kids until their butts were bright red. Perv.
Oh, so now the guy's spanking children. You know what? Mr. Henry, I have participated in this long enough. I'm going to hang my phone up. And if I hear one word from this kid between now and the time I do hang my phone up, I swear to God, someone's going to get hurt. And it might be my wife. I might beat my wife.
Wait a minute. You can't...
You know, it's just like you, man. Why don't you go ahead and beat your wife and then paddle a kid? Do what your uncle did. And
he wasn't my uncle, you punk.
He was a great-great-great-grandfather. All right, Justin, thanks a lot.
Were you hanging up on me?
Yeah, I'm hanging up on you because this guy did some research, you know.
Hey, wait a second. Did you tan your mom's hide, too? I bet you when you tanned her hide, it turned into a big cherry red butt.
My mom, huh? All right, that does it. The truck's getting warmed up according to factory specifications, and then I'm coming over there.
Now, you know what's going to happen.
He didn't mean it.
He's going over to that arcade.
No, he's not. Hey, anybody got change for a buck? Wait, I got to get the door to the arcade.
What the hell?
So, I've been to spank banking, huh?
He's knocking on the door of the arcade? All right, nice one, man. There's Justin and there's Lloyd, and somebody was tanning someone's hide. I don't know what. I had a great-great-great-grandfather that was into tanning. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley coming up, although the way my throat's feeling right now. Phil, I think you finally met our CRTC Canadian content requirements. In consecutive episodes, you managed to slam the CBC, Brian Williams, the French... That never goes out of style. An overpriced Toronto hooker who clearly exhibits the national trait of hypersensitivity. Now, Raquel, I ain't saying this, man. This guy is. This is a letter. A word about Brian Williams. His constantly telling viewers the time goes back years. He's a CBC's Olympic Games host, and you can always count him. You can always count on it's 3 p.m. here in Barcelona, 11 o'clock in Toronto. Blah, blah, blah. He gets especially animated if the time difference extends over 2 days. By the way, I was at the Grey Cup. I love the CFL and all football, really, and was happy to hear you didn't badmouth the league. Did you enjoy the game? Yeah, I did enjoy the game, but this guy, Brian Williams, I don't care if he gives the time. How about if he gives the right time? It's 5:30 here on the West Coast. It was 2:30. Why? Because I live on the West Coast. And the last time I checked, it ain't any different up in Vancouver as it is down here. And just because you can't afford it, man... Don't mean it ain't any good. If you get my J. Peacock, Vancouver. Thanks so very much for your letter, Mr. Williams. Now, Phil, I love you, man. Been listening nonstop since WIOD. I used to love when you would have Brian Cox on the show. One of my favorite bits of all time is when you had some old guy on the line and you kept whispering in the background, you son of a bitch. But, of course, you couldn't hear it, but it was, yeah, I remember that bit. We played it just the other day, didn't we? The bit inspired me for years to take calls from telemarketers and let them give me their pitch. And while they're talking, I keep whispering, you son of a bitch. Dan. All right, well, coming up next, we have a flashback that is Arlie Ermey. Oh, God, did we beep this one? If you don't know who Arlie Ermey is or was, Arlie Ermey still is an actor, a former member of the United States Marine Corps. He was in the film Full Metal Jacket as the drill instructor, and he called our show one night. And frankly, believed that he was talking to a guy named Don, who was bad-mouthing the Vietnam veterans and the war and all this stuff. And the reason why I know that Mr. Ermey was for real is we talked to Dale Dye, who was also a guy that was in the Marine Corps and knows Lee Ermey, and said that every time we pull a bit on the air now, Ermey will call him and say, that maggot Hendry did it again. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Yeah, I watch the Grey Cup game. So what? I watch the Canadian Football League. Sometimes I get a little tired of looking at these, these Yanks yanking it. You know, I got. There's only so much a Raider Nation I can take. You know, I've been watching football my whole life, and I've been watching the Raiders longer than most. And I'm telling you, I go back with the Raiders back. Anybody know the name, Hewitt Dixon? Anybody know the name Tom Connors? Anybody know the name Dan Keating? How about Big Ben Davidson, the guy with the big handlebar? How about those defensive backs they had back there in the day? Phil Villapiano, old man Willie Brown. Anybody know the name Pete Banaszak? Anybody know the name, Fred Biletnikoff? Of course, he's a Hall of Famer. But do you cats know guys like Cotton Davidson? Daryl LaMonica? I know them all, man. And I used to love the Raiders until they started believing their own bullcrap. Until they started reading their press releases. Until they started, looking in the mirror and kind of, checking out. Hey, I do kind of look like an outlaw. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of sucked. And then Davis had to bring him here to L.A. And, of course, that was like somebody just cutting a hugely corrosive, stench-filled fart. Davis moving the Raiders to L.A. was like walking into an elevator, blowing off. Never mind, man. Never mind, dude. You know what I'm talking about, right? You ever walked into an elevator after somebody let one and then, is rude doesn't even begin to tell the story. I walked into the elevator the other day and go, oh, come on, man. And the first thing you want to do is find the guy that did it. Who would be so... When Al Davis moved the Raiders to L.A., man, it's like he did that. It's like he walked through an elevator and just before getting out, just punched one out, just punched a really particularly corrosive one out, and then just kind of shuffled down the hall in his old man leisure suit, and you're left to sit there and weep, just cry. Hi, Phil. I recently listened to the radio interview that you gave to Stan and Haney in April of 2005. In it, you mentioned that you once did a bit on the air where Arlie Ermey, a.k.a. Gunny Hartman from the Full Metal Jacket film, calls up the show and locks horns with a guest. Is there any way you could please dig this one out and play it sometime as a flashback request? Thanks, Carl, Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, here it is, Carl. And this actually is on our Best of 97 or 98 CD. I forget which one. It's Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket taking on one of our characters, a guy named Don, who you all are probably familiar with, who apparently had some problem with the Vietnam War.
Is this Arlie Ermey?
Let me tell everybody who you are first, sir, in case Arlie Ermey played the drill instructor in Full Metal Jacket. He also went on to appear in Mississippi Burning. We saw you in a little cameo there in Leaving Las Vegas. We're big fans.
I've been in over 40 feature films. I'm retired out of the United States Marine Corps. I was in Way City. I was with the 1st Marine Division. I was a drill instructor in Marine Corps.
Well, we're very big fans of yours here on the old stinking show here.
But this guy.
What do you think of that who called me up saying that he was in Vietnam?
Well, you know what? This guy's got a serious problem.
Mm hmm.
Some
kind of a mental case who saw the movie.
This has got to be the lowest thing. This guy's calling in and he's digging for sympathy. He's pretending to be a Vietnam veteran. I doubt seriously if this young man is a Vietnam veteran. This disgusts me that somebody would call in.
Can you give me a couple of lines from that Full Metal Jacket flick?
I'll give you as many lines as you want. How much would you want?
Just don't give me any of the S or MF stuff.
Well, I try to refrain from that.
Go ahead and lay it on me.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. The first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Yes, sir!
I can't hear you. You've got a pair.
Right on. Right on. How about that one line? I love that thing where you say, here it is. You ask me how tall I am. Go ahead.
How tall are you, Private?
5'4", sir!
I think you're trying to squeeze a few inches in on me, aren't you?
You're a brilliant man. Now, hold on, is this guy Don called back? Because I got the man on the line here.
I'd love to put this in the street.
All right, hold on for a second, Lee. Don, are you there?
I'm right here, and this guy is a fake. What
Don. What are you laughing about?
This because nutcase, boy.
This is not our lead.
Give me 25, scumbag. How dare you insult the Vietnam veterans of America the way you've done it? It's humiliating. It's disgraceful.
You're
it's
on the radio.
And totally inhuman. How could you do something
you're,
like
you're
that?
All over the radio, and you're using all that language. And I don't think it's right.
You dirtbag. I'll use any kind of language I please to use, if you don't mind.
Well, this is a
scumbag. You're lower than you're a garden snail, dude. You know that?
What did I do that was so wrong? I seen a bunch of guys go to the NAM, and I wanted to be a hero too.
Oh, come on, will you? What do you mean you wanted to be a hero too?
Every guy in my street went, and
if
I didn't know.
You wouldn't have gone to Canada. You might have been able to have been in a situation where somebody might not have had to die for you.
No, hold on for a second. I was going to school to be an anthropologist.
School? Well, that's a real good reason to send somebody else over to Vietnam to die for you, you.
What are you talking about? I went to school to be a cultural
anthropologist. You're starting to stutter.
I went to school to be a cultural anthropologist.
Congratulations.
You're going to make me cry.
A lot of kids that went to Vietnam, you stupid never got a chance to go to school. They might have loved a chance to go to school to be an anthropologist. However,
excuse me,
they had to go and die in your place, you worthless piece of so don't
I said,
hand me that crap.
I said a cultural anthropologist.
Gordon Hartman has spoken. That's enough.
That's the guy who Don, you're talking to the guy who was in Full Metal Jacket, the movie you say was based on your life.
You're talking to the guy that wrote this.
You wrote it?
I wrote good large
pieces of that. I thought Kubrick got all the writing credit in that,
yeah,
though, right?
Well, I was there. I wrote. I directed. I was technical advisor.
Right.
And I was Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, and I was as technical advisor. That's my duty to write.
You were nothing, you piece of crap.
Oh, listen to him. He's stuttering now.
He's got a serious problem.
I got a serious problem. I'm crying right now.
Well,
it's your fault.
Thank goodness. Why don't you said you had some guns there, Don. Why don't you blow your brains off as long as you're at it? Because us Vietnam veterans don't need people like you hanging around, jumping in on like this and making us look like dirt. We already have a serious situation that this was a tremendously unpopular war. Now you got to pull this.
Did you know Stanley Kubrick?
Did I know Stanley? I worked with
him. He's in the stinking movie with the guy.
14 months, you sleaze bag.
Well, what about an autograph?
There it is. That's Arlie Ermey calling up. And that was from our 1998 CD. And you can pick that up online. Or you can, well, we're not going to have it at our signing on December the 11th. On December the 11th, we'll have our 2005 CD. But if you go online, go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. You can get that one. And again, on December the 11th, we'll be at Dave & Buster's in Arcadia, California. We'll be signing our Best Of CD. The first 250 people in line get a wristband. You get to watch me do my thing. I'm going to do a little 30-minute one-man show. And then we'll go in, we'll do a couple hours of signing the CD, meeting you guys. And it's our first signing, it's our first appearance of the season. And it's a pretty good time to get the Best Of Phil Henry Show CD because it's a couple of weeks before Christmas. It's also 1 week after the SC-UCLA game, so I don't have to blow that off. What's happening on the 11th, though? Something heavy is happening on the 11th that I'm going to just butcher. I got two things.
Jets,
huh? The Jets and the Patriots, that's what's happening. And I got to blow that off? Thank God. So we'll see on the 11th there at the Dave & Buster's, 400 South Baldwin Avenue in Arcadia. It's located in the Santa Anita Mall on the second floor, and everything starts at 3 o'clock.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley coming up. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we would like to thank the good people of San Antonio, Texas, for embracing our radio program for as long as you did. But apparently they flipped formats. They're going country. Well, you know what? That makes sense to me. It's San Antonio, Texas. Hello. And the news just keeps getting better and better. Now, in Seattle, the buzz is, what did I just hear? The buzz in Seattle is going to go, they're turning it into a car wash is what they're doing with that. They're not even going to have a radio station anymore. They're turning off the freaking transmitter to save precious minutes of electricity instead of pumping it into that transmitter. So they're turning that into a flower stand, and everybody's going to go over to the country station. So that's the latest news from broadcasting. Tune in again next time, folks, for IR Phil Hendry, announcer. Which, by the way, thank you very much for voting me the number one guy at night in L.A. radio on the Don Barrett website. But that and about, oh, I don't know, $1.25 will get me some really watered-down coffee at Starbucks. What difference does it make, man? All of those polls, they don't mean anything. They got Mr. KFI Jr. is number two. And I know nobody listens to him. You know, I appreciate it that people think of me, but they're all a bunch of radio groupies, and it doesn't mean diddly squat. At the end of the day, I'm still beating my brains out, trying to get up enough money, just a few more shekels, and I can get into that USC tailgate party at the Coliseum this weekend. That's all I care about. And one other thing. Oh, forget it. Well, I was going to tell Harry, because he was talking about the old AFL, the American Football League. That NFL channel does kick ass. That's the greatest thing in the history of man on this planet. Which, by the way, I got to get that game mix. And I called up the DirecTV, and the guy's really cool. Yes, sir, we got that. Because I called him up because I wanted to get that Grey Cup game. Which, you know, what's so bad about that? I know it's Canadian ball, so what? Anyway. They had that thing on the, I got to watch that show on the old American Football League, because the American Football League, nobody knows anything about. You know what the AFC is? Well, it used to be called the American Football League, minus three teams, the Colts, the Steelers, and the Browns. But in any event, the greatest touchdown pass, because they used to really throw the ball in that league. Greatest touchdown pass I ever saw in my life was in that league. Some dude catches, it's like a rainy, muddy game in Denver. And I think it was the Chargers at Denver. And they're at that Mile High, what is today Mile High Stadium. Back then it used to be called Bears Stadium. You know why? Because the Denver Bears Pacific Coast minor league baseball team played there. So it was Bears Stadium. Pouring rain and snow, sleet. And the guy is running down the field, and the dude for Denver chucks the freaking ball up there. I forget who the quarterback was. And the guy makes one of these diving catches and slides on his belly 30 yards into the end zone. You never saw anything like it before in your life. Guy catches it and is sliding. And, of course, the defensive back isn't quite sure what to do here. What he's basically got to do is stop the guy from sliding. He's already on the ground. But the bigger problem is he's on the ground. How do I stop him from sliding? So the DB kind of drops to his ass and is holding on to this guy while this guy is sliding into the end zone. So the two of them are on their way into the end zone. Phenomenal. Dear Phil, I love your show. I am 17 years old. I was downloading previous shows when I heard a character on your show mention that a few retarded kids cut down a dead body and took it to school for decoration because they couldn't smell. But the teacher was a reserve cop, so he took the dead lady's pulse and found out she was dead. Something like this really happened in Shoreline, which is north of Seattle in Washington. It was a few years ago. And when it was almost Halloween, a kid about 16, 17 years old stole his uncle's gun and showed it to his friend in the bushes right outside the public library. His friend pointed the gun at him, just fooling around. The kid who took the gun from his uncle tried to hit the gun away from his face, and the gun went off, killing him. Now, his friend hid the gun, left his friend in the bushes, and then left. He told people at school who visited the body after school, and they thought he was playing a prank. Over the next few days, almost every single kid from the high school went to the landscaping bushes by the library and saw the body, now starting to rot. They all thought it was a fake. Finally, almost a week after the kid got shot, a girl from another school was invited to see the body. When she saw it, she was horrified, realizing that it was a real person. She immediately called the cops. I delivered newspapers in Shoreline at that time, and after delivering, I would wait for my mom to pick me up right outside the library. For three nights in a row, I was sitting not 20 feet away from a rotting body waiting to be picked up. Thanks, Michael. Good God. There's also a story from Northern California that was made into a movie called River's Edge. And it's a true story of a kid killed this girl. And all these kids were sort of warped, and it was like, we're not going to squeal on our friend. So this girl was dead by the edge of the river, and these high school kids all kind of banded together and didn't tell anybody about this girl being strangled. And they're all like these white trash kids. And the dude that directed the movie is almost like a David Lynch type. Maybe it was David Lynch. I don't know, because Dennis Hopper was in it, who plays a drug dealer that goes everywhere with a blow-up sex doll. So while him and his friend are robbing a liquor store, Hopper's in there with a blow-up sex doll asking the guy who's got his hands in the air because he's being robbed, do you have Bud in the bottle? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, don't forget the address of the Santa Anita Mall, the Dave and Buster's that we'll be at on December the 11th in Arcadia, is 400 South Baldwin Avenue. 400 South Baldwin Avenue. And they call it Suite 930U. That's, you know, nobody goes to a mall and asks, where's Suite 930U? You just go to that thing that has the map and it says, you are here. Oh, my God. Who? Anyway, go to the mall and look for the thing, and it'll say, you're here, and then look for Dave and Buster's, and then you'll have to walk probably 8 million miles. That's what happens to me. Every time it says, I'm here, the place I want to be at, it's way over there, man. Way, way over there. Speaking of way over there, and I mean way, way over there, Bobby and Steve Dooley coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.